You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today. Happy Monday to everyone. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Monday here with me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. I hope everyone's had a wonderful weekend. We're going to get back into this little series I've been at here looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll be back here Wednesday and Thursday with the last sermon in Moses we've been looking at. Moses walks to his own funeral. We'll hear that later in the week. Then hopefully we'll be back with the book of Revelation here coming up. Lord willing, I'll have my voice back by then, and I'll be able to sit behind this microphone for 30 minutes, record a new program here in the book of Revelation. Here in the meantime, this is part two of this message here, the Sermon on the Mount. It's one long sermon. It's chapters 5, 6, and 7 in the Gospel of Matthew. IslandCommunityChurch.net is our website. More information on the church. Our statement of faith is available on there. Island Community Church is the YouTube channel. Many of these sermons are uploaded on there. And I invite you to one of our services. We will not be meeting on Wednesday for the month of September. We'll be back first week in October with the book of Galatians, verse by verse. Faith plus nothing equals salvation. That's the book of Galatians. Here now today, the Sermon on the Mount, part two.
Now we're back in the Sermon on the Mount here today. Funny how things play out sometimes, isn't it? For those that were here last week, when I mentioned to you that I accidentally skipped over the rest of chapter 5 to the middle of chapter 6, and it was around Sunday night at 9 o'clock, I realized it, and I considered changing it, but I decided to stick with what I had feeling. You know, when this kind of stuff happens, the Lord's up to something. Because this was all one long sermon in Matthew. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 are all one sermon. So it was easy for me to get distracted. But then on Sunday morning, the Lord gave me this verse out of the Proverbs. It's the second one listed up there. Proverbs 16:9. It says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." The main lesson I believe that we all learned is that for some reason, it was of the utmost importance that we focus on worry last Sunday and on the sin of worry. So I decided we'll just talk about worry. We'll do a 52-week series on worry. We won't talk about it. We won't worry anymore. We've done enough. Well, even the Lord himself says, don't even worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evils thereof. Don't even worry about tomorrow. Let's just focus here on today. Now let's go back here this morning and pick up where we were with leaving your gift at the altar and the verse which should have followed after that. But let's pray first before we get started. Lord, we exalt you again here in the house. Lord, without your leading and guiding us, all is lost. We're wasting our time without you. We ask for your blessings now. Lord, honor your word here as it's preached. Move in our hearts. Lead us and guide us. Show us perhaps what one thing that we lack today. Show us through the preaching and teaching of your word that our Savior and our Deliverer is your Son, Jesus Christ. May everything that's dead, everything that's done and said, may everything point to him. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Lead us now by your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Okay. We're in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 23. Actually, let's pick it up in verse 21. Matthew 5, 21. And again, if you're visiting here today, so excellent to see some people visiting, and for new folks here at the church as well. And, you know, you guys all make Island a better church. And I'm just so grateful for all of you, for this awesome church family. For those of you that are visiting or not members, you know, I think the Lord is at work here, and he's drawing you guys here. And he's building up a church here that is sick and tired of all of this evil, progressive nonsense out here today. And he's building up a church here that stands on the Word of God. And I invite you and encourage you that if you are drawn here by the Lord, I encourage you to become a member here at the church. I mean, the only difference of being a member here is this is a congregational-led church, meaning it's the church that decides on things, not the pastor. I'm not a dictator. We decide on it together. We vote on these things here together. So that's the great benefit. Otherwise, you already are family to me as far as I'm concerned. So, okay, Matthew chapter 5, let's pick it up in verse 21. And don't forget our Christmas Eve service at 5:30 p.m. Christmas Eve. Whatever day of the week that is, all I know is it's Christmas Eve. And it's at 5:30. What day of the week is that anyway? Tuesday. Tuesday is Christmas Eve. Did you guys know that? Verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. Now let me explain once again the purpose of these commands. It's not to make your life more difficult. But the Lord is declaring this to each and every person out there who wants to live according to the law in order to be right with God. That's what all this is about. That's why he starts out saying, you have heard that it was said. Then he quotes the truth. What they're saying is truth. But then he adds, every time he says, but I say to you. So hits them with the truth. Then he gives them the real meaning behind this for everyone out here that wants to keep the law in order to be right with God. He says, yep, you quoted the law right, but let me tell you what this really means. That's when he hits them with this but. Hits them with the truth, then you see a but, and then he tells you what this really means. The Apostle Paul agrees 100%. Naturally, he wrote, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So, in other words, here's the law. It's the hammer. Keep the law or else. Keep the law. Or else. That's all you got to do. Keep the law or else. You want to keep the law in order to be right with God? You're going to reject the Savior? Let me tell you what it really means. And all that's required of you is to keep the law or else. Now the Apostle Paul continues there. He says, but no one is justified by the law. Remember that word justified when God slams down his gavel and says, not guilty. So no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just, that is the righteous shall live by faith. Not by trying to keep rules, because you cannot keep rules. Right? I mean, he said, I was doing fine before the law came, but once the law came, then sin came in alongside and I died. I was fine driving 55 out here on the highway, until the city commissioners put up a sign that says, speed what? Limit. 55. Then the sign comes, up comes the twitch. Into the garage goes the Jeep, out comes the C7 Corvette. Down goes the foot. But I would have been fireless if you wouldn't have said that. You see, we can't keep, these walls are designed to show you that you need a savior, because you can't do this on your own. Now these guys were trying to keep rules, and he's gonna one-up them. What's that phrase you call it? Double down, what is it again? Huh? Up the ante. You say this is what the law is, and you're right. This is what it is. But let me show you what this really means, is what he's saying here. I was quoting Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree or a cross. So that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right, so that sets the table for what the Lord Jesus is saying to these people in his day or out here today, to one and everyone that wants to try to keep the Old Testament for the purpose of getting right with God. You see, get right with God and everything else will take care of itself. But you can't keep the rules to be right with God. You got to get right with God in your heart, and then everything else takes care of itself. Get right with him first, and don't worry about anything else. That's why he says, and what we looked at last week, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Get right with God first, and then you will hunger and thirst to keep all of these rules. But you can't keep them to get right with God. You got to get right with God first, then you keep them. So that's the context. This is a true spirit-filled exposition of the law on his part. All right, back to Matthew 5:22. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, or a fool, or like I said last week, empty skull, used to be one of my favorite sayings. Man, as the Lord convicted me of that, this last 168 hours since I saw you guys last, empty skull. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says you fool, in other words, he's defining what the word means. Remember, he's hit him with a butt. You say this, if you're guilty of this, you're going to have to stand before me and my pals, and if you got enough money, you see, we'll bless you and you'll be fine. And then he hits him with a butt. But whoever says fool will be in danger of hellfire. Certainly a lot different than standing before the council and their buddies. But whoever says you fool will be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift there, really, we are rolling back there, right? Good. Therefore, verse 23, if you bring your gift to the altar and there you remember that your brother's got something against you, then leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So church family, this is a marvelous idea, suggestion, command, whatever you want to call it. Ultimately, he's referring to someone that you have wronged, not the other way around. If you bring your gift to the altar, which in modern vernacular is putting in an offering in the offering plate here today, okay? If you put and leave your gift in the offering plate, and it's there you remember when Dwayne or Les passed by you that your brother has got something against you, go and make it right. And it seems to me that God will honor your gift when it's given like this. Look, last week, this man's daughter here, Evelyn, was sitting up here in the front row with $2 in her hand. And Vinny over here, I think, had $1, maybe $2. But in God's economy, those $3 will be blessed, and apparently more blessed than many of the other gifts that are put in the offering plate. Remember what we looked at last week. Blessed are the pure in heart. And he's saying that make it right with someone that's got something against you first, then come and leave your gift, and then watch God bless that abundantly. Now the Apostle Paul tells us, 2 Corinthians 9:8, he says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, might have an abundance for every good work. So once again, God is able. It doesn't say that he will. It says that he's able. You see, sometimes he waits on you to make it right. He's able. He's able to make this whole universe in 6 days. Oh, he's able, all right. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, but maybe he's waiting on you to have a heart like Evelyn. And Vinny, what did the Lord say? Unless you are converted and become like a little child, you will in no way inherit the kingdom of God, he says. We need to become like those children that are here. That's when he really blesses our offering and gifts to him. Now, let's pick it up from there in the correct chapter, chapter 5, verse 25. He says, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer or police officer. Let's actually call that person the bailiff. Hand you over to the bailiff and you'll be thrown into prison. You see, bailiff, take him away. All because you won't admit when you're wrong. This is not even up for discussion. He says, you're obviously in the wrong. You're better off settling on the way here. Now, the Lord's saying, don't let this happen to you. Apparently, this applies to those that are in the wrong. Sometimes we're so stubborn and won't admit when we're wrong, we just insist on our own way. Can any men relate to that here in the house today? Now, spiritually speaking, what you need to do here is settle out of court. Don't allow your case to go to trial. Because I hate to inform you, but as far as you're standing with God, you see, you're guilty. You're guilty, and I encourage you, settle out of court. Don't let your case go to trial. Settle out of court. That's why we read in the Bible here, it says we have an advocate. That's the Greek word for a defense attorney. We have a defense attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he wants you to say, don't let your case go to trial because you're guilty. And he's paid the price. You're much better off to settle out of court. Don't let this one see through to the end, because I guarantee you the ending's not going to be well. Next subject, adultery. Again, the context. He's showing the people that they can't keep the law. And these Pharisees think that they know what adultery is. But they're wrong. You see, it's not what they think it is. It's actually much worse than what the Pharisees think that it is. Again, remember the context. You guys want to live by this law? You got your own law about adultery? Let me tell you what this really is. No one understands. Again, if you try to keep these rules to be right with God, then you will be judged by these rules. And the true meaning of these rules, not what the Pharisees say that they mean, but what the Lord Jesus says that they mean. Big difference. And we'll see in the Lord's interpretation of adultery, because his interpretation of adultery is different than theirs. Verse 27, you had heard that it was said. All right, so remember, the word of God was passed down through oral tradition to these guys. Many times they didn't have a Bible. It got passed down orally to them. That's why he says, you have heard. You have heard that your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather told you this. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Truth, right? Then he says, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So what do we do with that? Number one, you can say, not me. Might be talking to you, but he's not talking to me. Or number two, is it I? Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Am I the one that's guilty of this? You see, these things are all designed to show you it's much worse than you think if you're going to try to keep the law to be right with God. These things are designed to drive us to our knees and call out to Jesus. Because we can't keep these rules. You just can't do it. They're not designed to save you. They're designed to convict you and lead you to the cross or condemn you. Or condemn you. They're never designed to save you. Never. And is this how you'd want to live? Do you want to try to keep the Old Testament rules instead of admitting to God that you are a sinner and receive his life preserver like we looked at a few weeks ago, remember? That was John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. You see, you've got a decision to make. Because you too have been bitten by this serpent. If you choose to go by the book, then by the book you will go. But just remember, the entire book. If you choose Christ, then you will not be judged by the book. You see, your guilty sentence will be paid in full by the Son. Matter of fact, it's already been paid in full. That's why on the cross he shouted out those words that bankers use when you pay off your mortgage. Tetelestai, which means this loan is paid off, by golly. It's paid in full. That's good news, church. That's good news. Now, the Pharisees' interpretations of these Old Testament laws was way, way off. The Lord's showing us the truth. You've got two options if you're interested in the things of God. Number one, you can go by the book. Number two, redemption through God's Son and through the cross. There's no option three. No option three. Now, all right, next up, verse 29, included in the same paragraph as adultery. Let's pick it up in 28. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. All right, so now, talking about looking, he goes on to eye, verse 29. For if your right eye causes you to sin, see, he's not telling you to pluck out your eye. He's showing you that you can't keep these rules and you need a Savior. That's my understanding of the Sermon on the Mount this time around. You can never keep all these rules. He's not telling you to pluck out your eye and cut off your hand. He's telling you that you can't do this. The wages of sin is death, and you need help and a deliverer. That's what he's trying to say to you. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, then cut it off. Cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you if one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Again, these verses aren't designed to give you peace. Jesus gives you peace. He's the Prince of Peace. You don't get peace from trying to keep the law. You get peace from being right with God. Get right with God and you'll have peace. These verses, again, point to your desperate, desperate need for a Savior. And again, these verses are for all those people that want to gain their own righteousness. We don't want Jesus. We want to do this our way. And yet there's probably 6 billion people in the world that look at it that way. I mean, I say it every week. The charge over humanity is that God loves you. They crucified him because he said that he loved them. These verses are for all the people that want to gain their own righteousness. And if that's you, then these verses are a continuation of the things that you must do, or else. Remember, without Jesus, there's no Savior. There's no blood. There's no remission of sin. There's only the law. Grace comes to us by God's Son, Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. All right, verse 31, same context, same Pharisees who make up their own rules and laws. Furthermore, all right, hits them with a furthermore. In other words, he's saying, hey, don't leave yet. Come on back in. Furthermore, see, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. If you've ever looked at another woman in your whole life and lusted after, you've already said, furthermore, come on back. I'm not done yet, he says. I'm not done yet. We've got some more to discuss. You don't want your sins obliterated. You don't want God to remember them anymore. You don't want peace with God. You don't want to be made right with God. You don't want to be reconciled. Come on, let's talk. Furthermore, we're not done yet. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. All right? Truth. Now he hits him with another, but I say to you, see, these guys were selling this stuff like candy, these things. Anyone could get a certificate of divorce for anything. Just had to see one of these guys, you got enough money. And he hits them here with this spiritual truth. Furthermore, it's been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, all right, here comes the impossible interpretation of God's law, that without a Savior, it condemns you. He says, but I say to you that whoever divorces his wife, now check out the next three words, whoever divorces his wife for any reason, except sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery. Look at the next word. What is it? And. Oops. In other words, he's not done. Now, this next one comes with no caveat attached to it. And. Whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. I always wanted that ringtone on my phone. The one that's crickets.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father. You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.